Blog Talk Radio.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
I'm your host, Vinny B. NASCAR, Xfinity, and the Cup Series in action this past weekend at Richmond for playoff round number two. So does somebody else make it to the round of 12 along with Denny Hamlin, or does he hold serve? Well, if you watch the race, you know the answer, but you know how that goes. Anyway, round one of the countdown in NHRA to the championship. Out at Maple Grove Raceways for the Mopar Express Lane NHRA Nationals. I didn't get to that track, but I did get to Englishtown Raceway Park, which is no longer Raceway Park. They stopped all of the racing action there. Except maybe some motorcycle stuff. I don't know, but no more NHRA. That was one of the vaunted tracks along the oldest tracks in the circuit. But it was in, I mean, it wasn't, there was no easy access to that track, but I guess the neighbors, because they built up around her, complained, oh, it's too loud. Now, if you went to any NHRA Camping World Drag Racing Series event, yeah, it does get loud. But, you know, it was there long before the build-up. But, you know, anybody that lives in Jersey knows what I'm talking about. Whiny bitches. Anyway, let's see who made the finals. Billy Torrance and Justin Ashley. Billy Torrance trying to make a run against his son for a championship. Justin Ashley's making a name for himself as well, getting up in that way. Torrance qualified fifth. Ashley sixth, so they were pretty even right there. Who was number one qualifier? Brittany Force. Brittany made it all the way to the semis against Billy Torrance, but Billy had to go up against Josh Hart in round one. Hart off the line a little better. Billy got it on the ET in the .045 disadvantage that Billy had against Hart. Hart in 05 and Torrance 095 was made up for by the 372 with a 1 versus 378 with a 1. So 6 and 5, or 4 and a half, is maybe a .02 margin of victory there. Because he got to the line that much quicker. In round 2, Sean Langdon, former show guest, back in his Allen Abbey Top Fuel days when he won the championship. Had an 052, a .02 quicker than Billy Torrance. But again, going down the track, Torrance with a 371. Langdon with a 379. Wasn't quick enough. Then up against Brittany Force. This is one time he actually got off the line quicker. 069 for Brittany. And 050 for Billy. So you figure almost .02 quicker. And then down the track, she was at a 3.77, and he was at a 3.72 with a 5. So he moves into the finals. Justin Ashley, on the other hand, 067 against Doug Kalita in round 1. 067 to 065 for Kalita. That was close, but Ashley with a 370 and Kalita with a 376. It was a big gap there. Up against Clay Milligan in round 2. Again, 056 for Milligan, 055. 1,000th of a second. You can't tell them apart. Only the clock can. That looked like a dead even jump to the naked eye. But going down the track, Milliken with a 381, Ashley with a 369. Right now I'm looking at that as the quickest ET. I didn't go through everybody else. Oh, Milliken had a 369 with an 8 in round 1. This was a 369 with a 7 for Ashley in round 2 against Milliken. Then up against Steve Torrance. A little pedal fest going there. 034 for Ashley, 065 for Torrance, but we're looking at funny car ETs here because traction was a little bit of a battle. 416 for Torrance, but Ashley with the 408 had a better advantage, plus 3/100ths off the tree quicker. So Ashley against one Torrance takes the win, then going up against the other Torrance in the finals. Now here's where it gets interesting. Ashley, good jump off the tree with an 033. Billy Torrance with an 075. So we're looking at 0.042 difference. But Billy Torrance with a 372 made up for that because Ashley had a 378. So even with the 04 advantage, that 372 ate up that and was able to cross the line first, giving it to Billy Torrance, his first win in the countdown. Well, he takes the win in the first event of the countdown. Ashley second, low ET, 369 with a 7. I was right, or that was correct. Best reaction time went to Steve Torrance, 009, which is in round 2, but he ran against nobody. We were short a couple of, I guess looks like 3, because nobody in round 1 against them in that ladder, and Brittany Force went unopposed in round 1 in that ladder. There was the last two qualifiers, 15 and 16, which is weird. If you're in a countdown, you would think you'd have enough people there, but I don't know. Have to check on Audrey Worm. She runs Top Fuel. She lives in PA. I'm surprised she did. Maybe she didn't make the cut, but you would think with 3 open spots, somebody would have made the cut. She probably didn't run there. Anyway, that being said, top speed goes to Brittany Force. On to the funny cars. Here we go. Comes down to the man himself, the king, who I call the king of drag racing. And I'm pretty sure with his record and longevity, everybody else looks up to him as the king of drag racing, including NASCAR drivers. Kenny Wallace calls him the king of drag racing. He said that on this show. Anyway, the final round, Tommy Johnson Jr. up against the king of drag racing, John Force, who I've actually interviewed both in person. Force I've interviewed on this show as well at the English Town. That was a busy day for me. Actually, it was a busy 2 days for me because I went Saturday and Sunday because I had a lot of audio to get for Garage Talk Live back in the WNJC days. I didn't see Tommy Johnson Jr. there. I interviewed him and Ron Capps at the Motorsports Show. They were driving for Don the Snake Prudhomme up in Fort Washington before they moved it a couple of times. Well, they moved it from Fort Washington down to Atlantic City and then back up that way to Glen Oaks, Pennsylvania, which is not far from Fort Washington. Anyway, they put it on where they put it on. Met some great people there. Matter of fact, one of them just had a baby, or had didn't just have baby, had twins about a year, maybe two, yeah, about a year ago. Jesse Morrison, who's now a Fox Sports reporter covering motorsports, I think, as well as some other stuff. But she went in the media biz. Good for her. Met her. She was a sprint car driver on a dirt track at 16. Then I saw her again because I hadn't seen her in a while. When she was in, just turned 21, it was a nice reunion. Anyway, I have to get her on the show. All right. Enough side notes there. Back to the results for the funny car division. Cruz Pedregon, you're number one. I'm looking at 1-3. Again, 3 empty slots. So Pedregon against nobody in round one. And then the 14th and 15th spot went vacant because number two was Robert Height, and he went up against number 13, Corey Lee. So John Force wound up being the 12th in qualifying. So he had a battle to go to the finals, but if anybody could do it, it's not where you qualify, it's where you finish. So he made it all the way to the finals. We'll see how he did when he gets there. 059 against Tim Wilkerson with a 129. Okay, there's a .07 gap there, and then it was a 387 to a 389 for Wilkerson. Force, no problem. The ET was close. That was a pretty good gap there, but the reaction time spread it out a bit further. Then up against Paul Lee in round two, who wound up beating Bob Tasca. Force with a 101, Lee with an 079, but the 386 was a lot faster than the 390 for Lee. Then up against his employee slash teammate slash company president, Robert Height. This was a battle of who. Here's what I don't understand. Robert Height, 084 with a 390 with a 9, 329.42 miles an hour. John Force, 056, 390 with a 9, 329.1 miles an hour. Now, wouldn't you think that'd be dead even? Unless, I mean, that was the win right there, off the light. John Force by a .03 advantage over Robert Height. Their ETs were identical. I mean, you couldn't ask for, had they got off the line at the same time or close to it, it could have been a draw. Anyway, Tommy Johnson Jr., Tommy, where you at, Tommy? There he is, number four qualifier, up against Jimmy Campbell. Then up against former teammate Ronnie Capps. With Jim Campbell, it wasn't even close. Campbell must have blown up because you don't get a 99.9 second ET. You can get a, I mean, even a minute. I don't even think the clock goes that high. So I don't know what happened there. But he took the light, and I guess he had to be pushed off the track when they figured out he wasn't going anywhere. But they crossed the plane and stopped the clock, and somehow you got 99.999 seconds. You'd think after 59 seconds, if the clock went that big, it would go to a minute, but hey. I don't have the timing equipment that the NHRA has, but that's my own personal opinion. Anyway, up against Ronnie Capps, 047 for Capps. 050 for Johnson. Close. 3/1000th difference. Not going to make much of a thing, but down the track, it was a 392 with a 4. And here's where Johnson gets him, 389 with a 2. So Tommy Johnson moves on against J.R. Todd. So it's 078 for Todd, 050 for Johnson. Johnson with a slight 028 advantage off the tree, which plays out to, because this was close, 390 with a 5 for Todd, 390 with a 2 for Johnson. So that 028 second advantage makes a big difference going down the track when you're that close. I mean, that could almost have been a hole shot, but it wasn't. If the ETs were switched and Tommy won, then it would have been a hole shot. Anyway, up against John Force. And it was close one. 026 off the tree for Force. That's pretty good reaction for an old guy. Tommy Johnson, 043. So we're looking at pretty close to a 2/100th of a second advantage for Force. And that 2/100th of a second advantage fizzled away because the ETs were flip-flop as far as 1/100th of a second. 392 with a 6 for Johnson. 394 with a 6 for John Force. Had John been a little quicker off the tree, maybe a couple of 1/1000ths quicker, he might have got that, but give it to Johnson, Force the runner-up. Low ET was a 386 with a 1 for Force. Best reaction time in that final round for Force, 026. And top speed, John Force. The only thing he didn't get was the Wally. Well, if you got the Wally, you wouldn't be the runner-up, so obviously doesn't make a difference. Pro stock into the actual gasoline running machines here. Let's see who winds up in the finals. Greg Anderson versus Erica Enders. Erica making a run for her fifth championship. Has to do it against somebody who's got, I think, 7 championships in the division. That would be Greg Anderson. Erica, number 1 qualifier. Anderson, number 2 qualifier. Boy, they were pretty close all from the get-go. Looks like, yes, all, we had a full field of pro stockers, all 16 cars. All right, let's chart it down. Erica Enders up against Larry Morgan. 054 for Erica, Larry Morgan 024, but the ET wasn't even close. We have 659 with a 6 versus, 658 with a 7. I was looking ahead one round to a 671. So not only the ET, the reaction time didn't matter. The vehicles and the drivers got it done. So up against Chris McGahey in round 2. Erica, 016 with a 659 with a 6. Chris McGahey jumped the light, minus 036, so he was red for a good bit. So he just cruised it down, putted down the track, 21.6. Then up against Dallas Glenn. Glenn with the better reaction time with an 017. Erica with an 028. 664 with a 2 for Glenn. 660 with a 2 for Erica. So Erica definitely made that up going down the track. Let's take a look at number 2, Greg Anderson, against John Gadosh in round 1. Gadosh didn't take the light, no ET. Anderson with a 012 with a 655. With a 5. Then up against Matt Hartford. 043 for Anderson, 038 for Hartford. Then Anderson gets a 658 with a 5, and Hartford with a 659 with a 7. That was close, but reaction time. Did not help Hartford. He was close. That made that real close, because 58 and 59. It came down to 0.05 of a second that could have been made up. But it wasn't meant to be for Hartford. Then up against Troy Coughlin Jr., we had, oh, this was close, pretty even off the light here. We have 0.26 for Anderson, 0.28 for Coughlin. Then we had a 6.61 with a 4 for Anderson. And a 6.61 with a 3 for Coughlin. The big difference, I'm looking at it right there. 0.02 of a second difference between Anderson having the quicker 0.02 of a second than Coughlin. If Coughlin had it the other way around, that would have been a 0.01 of a second the other way difference, but it wasn't. That's how tight that one was. Then in the finals, Greg Anderson, 0.21. Erica Enders with an 0.49. Not a good jump for her. 6.60 with a 4. And then he gets a 6.57 with an 8. Give the Wally to Anderson. Erica gets the runner-up. E.T. with a 6.555 was the low E.T. for Anderson in round one. 0.007 for reaction time for Chris McGahey. And then top speed, Matt Hartford, 208.33 miles an hour. Let's go to the motorcycles. Hello, motorcycles. There we go. Finals become down to Steve Johnson and Eddie Krawick. Krawick's been on a run of late, taking the win last week, making the finals again this week. And number one qualifier, Angel Sampe. Angel, teammate to Eddie Krawick and Andrew Hines on Vance Hines Harley-Davidson's. And up against number 16 qualifier, another young lady, Gianna Salinas. Michael Salinas, who drives Top Fuel's daughter. Gianna with the quicker reaction time against three-time champion Angel, who also has the most female wins in the series. But 0.33 to 0.65, the reaction good for Salinas, but E.T. not so much. Angel with the 6.81, Salinas with a 7.06, moves Angel in round two. Steve Johnson was your number five qualifier. Forgot to mention that before I started it off. Up against Angel in round two, up against Karen Stouffer. I think that's two or three of the ladies right there. And the other one would have been Angie Smith, who was Matt Smith's wife. Did she even run this week? Yes. So six ladies in the pro stock. Oh, I'll take that back. Four ladies in the pro stock motorcycle round. So, Angel with a .117. And Stouffer with an 0.51. That's a .06 gap. But in the ET section, it was a full tenth difference between Sampe with a 6.84 and Stouffer with a 6.94. So it wasn't enough to make up the difference. Give it to Angel into the semis against Steve Johnson. .054 for Angel, 6.86 with a 6.86, and then Johnson with a 0.17 with a 6.80. Sends him to the finals against Eddie Krawick, who was your number three qualifier, up against Kelly Klontz in round one. Round one wasn't even a battle. 0-42 to a 1-1-4 advantage for Krawick off the light. And then 6-85 to a 10.6 for Klontz. Then up against Angie Smith, who beat Eddie's teammate Andrew Hines in round one. Hines faulted out, so Angie didn't have to. It was close because she had an 0-2. He had a 0-01 to the negative, which is he was almost at the light. I guess he tried to time it too well, and the light got him. Because you figure perfect light is 0-0, so minus 0-01. That's about as close to a fault as you can get. She had an 8.42. He had a 6.92. He still ran it good, though, once he got down there. But the red light disqualifies him. So Angie up against Eddie Krawick. So what does she do? Red lights with a 0.14. But she had a 6.87 with a 3. He had an 0.49. And he had a 6.88 with a 6. Just think, Angie, if you waited just a smidge and got the green, you would have taken that round and went up against Hubby in the semis. But as it was Matt Smith, defending champ, up against Eddie Krawick in the semis to see who battles Steve Johnson. Matt Smith, 0.26, Eddie 0.18, close. But E.T., give it to Eddie with a 6.90 with a 6. Matt Smith, 6.94 with a 2. So here it comes, the final round. Steve Johnson with an 0.78 with a 6.77 with a 5. Eddie Krawick, 0.64, 0.01. Better off the tree, but the ET was a 6.87, so give that to Steve Johnson. Beating former champ, actually hasn't won it in a few years, Eddie Krawick. ET, best low ET goes to Steve Johnson, 6.77 with a 5, did it in that final round. Matt Smith with the best reaction at a 0.07. And what do we got? Top speed, Matt Smith, 201.07 MPH. Let's see how we look after round one of the countdown. It's a tight battle between first and second, but Steve Torrance has a 12-point lead over Brittany Force in second. Billy, 42 back of his son, even though he won. In third, Justin Ashley in fourth. Leah Pruitt in fifth. Antron Brown in sixth. Sean Langdon seventh. Mike Salinas eighth. Ninth, Clay Milliken. And tenth, Doug Kalita. There are your top ten there. 147 from first place to 10th place. So it's right now I'll cut it off at Justin Ashley in fourth because Torrance, Brittany, Steve Torrance, Brittany Forrest, Billy Torrance, Justin Ashley are close. And with you got some ground to make up with five events to go, and I don't see anybody getting close to the top below fourth. Leah might jump Ashley, but Justin Ashley, that's his last name, not his first name, so therefore. But there's only an 11-point split there. But I'm looking right now, no lower than fourth has a shot at the championship with five races to go. But I think the main battle right now after one going forward is between Brittany and Steve Torrance. Let's check out the Funinini car. John Force has a 5-point lead over Matt Hagen. Ronnie Capps is in third, 15 back. J.R. Todd in fourth, 39 back. Robert Height in fifth, 51 back. And then you have Bob Tasca in sixth, Cruz Pedregon in seventh, Alexis DeJoria in eighth, Tim Wilkerson in ninth, and Blake Alexander in tenth. So right now, I would cut it off at the fifth place with a 51-point gap for Height. Again, fifth and sixth could flip, but I don't see them. I don't see Tasca winning enough to unseat John Force. Now, his biggest competition right now will be Ron Capps and Matt Hagen. There's only a 15-point gap there and a 5-point gap with Hagen, so that's going to be your closest battle. J.R. Todd at 39 back. It's going to be a little tougher. In the pro stock round, it's Greg Anderson. Oh, he's got a big lead over Erica Enders, 41 points. He's got some making up to do. She needs to dump him in round one and go to the finals next event if they face each other that early. Just saying. There's a 41 gap. Aaron Stanfield in third at 95 back. Dallas Green at 99 back. Kyle Koretsky in fifth. Troy Coughlin sixth. Matt Hartford seventh. Chris McGahey eighth. Mason McGahey ninth. And Derek Kramer rounds out your top 10. It's doable in five races for Erica to get there. A couple of Wallys could do it. Let's check Pro Stock Motorcycle. Come on, let's change the screen. I need the screen. Well, while this is up, here we go. Steve Johnson now leads Matt Smith by 12 points. Eddie Krawick in third, 36 points. Angel Sampe in fourth, 59 points back. Scotty Polacek, Angie Smith, Karen Stopher, Ryan Oler, Joey Gladstone, and Corey Reed round out your top 10. I don't see how they got Andrew Hines as locking into the playoffs when you only take 10, unless they bumped it to 11. But why is there a cutoff at the 10th spot? I don't know. Something weird there. Same with the pro stock. Right now, it's going to be down to Johnson, Smith, and Krawick. Matt Smith, that is. Angel, 59 points back. She might gain a spot, but getting all the way to first and taking her fourth championship is going to be tough. Just like Erica Enders in the pro stock, it's going to be tough. Let's see the schedule. Their next event will be this weekend at the Z-Max Dragway for the DeWalt NHRA Carolina Nationals down in Concord, North Carolina. Competing categories, all the big ones, and then a lot of the small ones. Everybody's for the countdown, I guess. But we'll be in this week and then the week after that, and then October. Two, three, four, five, six, seven. Why do I count seven for the countdown? It was six. Oh, wait, no, that's the U.S. Nationals. I screwed up. One, two, three, four, five, six. Yeah, seven. That's weird. What are they doing, NHRA? But there's your schedule. This weekend will be in Concord. for the DeWalt Nationals, the DeWalt Carolina Nationals. So we'll have updates on that next week. Now, on to Richmond. Truck Series off. We just had Xfinity and the Cup Series. So, taking the win, Noah Gregson, Justin Haley in second, John Hunter Nemechek in third. He's not running for points, but because he's running, I think, in the Truck Series. Justin Allgaier, fourth. Riley Herbst, fifth. Daniel Hemric, sixth. Ty Gibbs, seventh. Brandon Brown, eighth. Harrison Burton, ninth. And cousin Jeb Burton rounds out your top ten. Surprise celebrity driver in this one. Dale Earnhardt Jr. stepped out of the booth and onto the track. And then number eight wound up 14th. So somebody's been out of the vehicle for a little bit. Hey, you got to give him credit for that. Cousin Jeffrey Earnhardt was 30th, started 26th. He needs a good car. I'm sorry. He hasn't had a good car since he came into the series. Time of the race, 2 hours, 14 minutes, 57 seconds. Average speed, 83.3. Margin of victory, 381. Stage 1, win by A.J. Allmendinger. Wound up 18th. Not a good run for him. And Stage 2, Ty Gibbs, who was leading for a while. He led 67 laps, so that was a good run for him. But it wasn't the case. We have 15 lead changes under 15 lead changes amongst, that's the word I was looking for, 8 drivers. Like I said, Ty Gibbs led 3 times for 67. We have multiple double-digit leaders in order of amount of laps led from most to least. Well, not so much least, but the double-digit least. I'll give you that. It's Gibbs, Austin Cindric at 50, Harrison Burton 43, Allmendinger 39, Gregson 22, 2 times for 22. The one that counted gave him the win. Daniel Hemric was 17. Sam Mayer and Tommy Joe Martin's 7 and 5 respectively. 9 cautions for 58 laps. Competition caution for 6 laps. So, and then stage 1 conclusion for 8 laps, and then stage 2 had an incident, but that, and that was 11 laps. So there are your amount of cautions. So now we'll check the points, and then we'll get some audio. Well, Gregson, the 41st annual Go Bowling 250. It's his fourth in 94 Xfinity races. It's his second victory in top 10 this year. Can you say 2 in a row? His first victory and 5th top 10 in 6 races at Richmond. Highest finishing rookie, Ty Gibbs, and then we'll go to the points. Leading the points is A.J. Allmendinger. It's not showing playoffs here. That's weird. Austin Cindric is second with 5 wins. Justin Allgaier, third. Daniel Hemric, fourth. Harrison Burton, fifth. Noah Gregson, 2 wins in a row, is sixth. 7th, Justin Haley. Jeb Burton, 8th. 9th, Jeremy Clements. Brandon Jones is 10th. And then Riley Herbst and then Myatt Snider around at your top 12. And they're not calling it a playoff event because they'd have peas next to them. Like the Cup Series would and the Truck Series. I'm surprised they didn't have the Xfinity in the playoffs as well. I mean, the season's getting short. Well, they're going to round it down and see how many races they need left. They need, well, they're going to run it down to eight to go, then that's probably it. Anyway, in the Cup Series, let's get some audio from Noah Gragson after taking the win. Of course, we got to wait because they don't know how to edit it to where it sounds. So the dead air, NASCAR, you ought to know better. Yep, here we go.
Hi, Amanda. Noah is going to sit down now.
Awesome. Thanks, Marissa.
Come on.
You got water?
Thank you. Yeah. I'm chewing sunflower seeds. Thank you.
Noah, welcome back.
Thank you.
We meet on the Zoom again.
I know. I love this.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. You might be my favorite person to see after a race. That means I did good.
Well, here's to keeping that trend going. So, like I said, congratulations. You had the fans all fired up at Richmond with that burnout and then climbing the fence. So before we quickly move to questions, just what does it mean to start gaining what feels like a lot of momentum at the right time in the season?
Well, it's big. Special, and it's good for this race team. This year hasn't been the year that we've wanted. Excuse me. So I just shotgunned one of those Dixie vodka drinks, but sorry, I got the hiccups. It feels really good just to be able to get this team into victory lane again, and you know, have all those guys' hard work pay off. All the shop guys, everybody at Hendrick Engines, they got a lot of steam under the hood. Everybody in the fab shop at JRM, just, you know, it takes everyone. And we've had a lot of speed, just not been able to get those guys in victory lanes. So it feels really special to be able to do it for them. And, you know, it's not about me. Like I've said, it's about – today is not about the race or any of that. It's about everybody who's lost their life and lost a loved one 20 years ago and, you know, a friend, a loved one. It's a sad day, and it's emotional. And it's a day I'll never forget.
All right, we're going to move to questions now. If you have one for Noah, from your reminder, just raise your hand within the Zoom platform. And to kick us off, we're going to go to Bob Pocker. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Noah, Dale Jr. said you might be dangerous with a little bit of confidence. Do you have that little bit of confidence now, and do you feel dangerous?
Yeah, I mean, I feel confident, but I just try to show up the best I can every weekend and do the best job I can and be fully prepared. Josh Wise, he does an unbelievable job throughout the week working with us young drivers. And it was really special to see Sam Mayer up there, who also works with Josh. He was up running the top three today. Yeah, I think there is confidence that you can ride that momentum. And I'm not going to argue against it, Bob. It feels good, you know, when you get to the racetrack and, you know, when people say good job and good job last weekend, it goes a long ways, and it puts a smile on your face. So, I think it does help having that confidence. And so I agree with Dale.
There you have Noah Gragson getting the confidence at the right time of the season on a second win in a row. So we'll see what happens this coming week. Let's go to the Cup Series wrap up. In the end, taking the win, also advancing to the round of 12, the number 19 of Joe Gibbs Racing, Martin Truex Jr. joining his teammate Denny Hamlin as the two winners of the first three in the round of 16. Taking the third spot, another Joe Gibbs car, Christopher Bell. So that's three Gibbs cars in the podium, we'll call it on the podium. They swept the top three, which you can't count out Joe Gibbs. Denny Hamlin actually pretty much dominated the race, winning both stages and leading six times for 197 laps. But then Marty Truex didn't win any stages, but led three times for 80 laps, including the last one, which gives him five playoff points versus Hamlin's two in the event. Okay, Chase Elliott, the first Chevy in line, in fourth, Joey Logano in fifth. Kyle Larson, who's been running good of late, he's in sixth. Ross Chastain, seventh, the only one not in the playoffs in the top ten. Kevin Harvick is eighth. Kyle Busch, ninth. Ryan Blaney, it does round out your top ten. Now, playoff guys, not in the top ten, that might have a little issue next week because they might be on the bubble. Well, I don't know about Brad Keselowski, but you have Alex Bowman in 12th, Keselowski in 13th, Amarola in 14th, Tyler Reddick 15th, William Byron in 19th, and I think, oh wait, and our last playoff, oh, two playoff guys, it's one in 28th, that's Michael McDowell. He's definitely on a bubble. And Kurt Busch, who got involved in a wreck early on at lap 40. So, he'll be moving on to a new team. So, with Denny Hamlin, he'll be on the 2311 team with Michael Jordan and Denny Hamlin owners, joining Bubba Wallace as his teammate. So, we'll see what happens there. Of course, Bubba Wallace driving for that team this year. Had a rough day as well. He only wound up 32nd, and he started 27th. So, not a good run for Bubba. Time of the race, 3 hours, 3 minutes, 6 seconds. Average speed, 98.3 miles an hour. Margin of victory, 1.41. Lead changes amongst 8 drivers, 5 cautions for 30 laps, including a 5-lap competition caution and a 7 and an 8-lap stage conclusion caution. So 2 cautions for 20 laps were for, you know, competition and stage conclusion. So you only had, 3 cautions. You only had 2 cautions for 10 laps for incidents on the track, which isn't much for a short track. So when you have most of your cautions for competition and stages, it's I guess a waste of time. With Truex, it was his 31st victory in 577 Cup Series races. His 4th victory and 15th top 10 this year. It's his 3rd and 14th top 10 in 31 races at Richmond. He has a good run at Richmond. Denny Hamlin at his home track was his 19th top 10 in 30 races at Richmond. And it's his 19th top 10 this year. And the highest finishing rookie was Chase Briscoe. Joe Gibbs Racing leads NASCAR Cup Series victories at Richmond with 17 wins. Tony Stewart in 1999, 2001, and 02. Hamlin, 03, 09, 2010, 2016. Kyle Busch, 2009, 2010, and 2011. 2012 and 2018 sweep. And then Kenseth, 2015. Carl Edwards, 2016. And Martin Truex, 2019. He swept both last year, that year, and won this year. So I guess they ought to make it. They ought to rename that to Joe Gibbs Richmond Raceway. Anyway, let's get to our winner and see his jubilation.
Cool. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
Hello, hello. Thank you for joining us.
Hello.
All right. We have now been joined by our race winner, Martin Truex Jr., and our race-winning crew chief, James Small. We'll take questions for both of them. If you have a question, please raise your hand within the Zoom and let us know which, if you'd like to speak to Martin or James, and we'll do our best to spotlight them as they provide the answers. So to take a we're going to start with Bob Pocker. Go ahead, Bob.
And for Martin, how long did it take you to get over the penalty at the start of the race?
How long did it take me to get over it? Sorry, you broke up there for a second. After I did it,
track, but just like mentally and over the frustration of it.
Yeah, just like, you know, two laps after I pitted or whatever, I was like, you know, this is ridiculous, but I'm last now, so there's nothing I can do except for go forward. So, yeah, I don't really understand what you're supposed to do in that situation. Like, you know, I let the 11 get a nose out in front of me, like to get the launch first. Like, you know, I wasn't going to jump in, and then he spun the tires and stopped. Like, what am I supposed to do? Stand on the brakes and crash the field behind me? I mean, it's ridiculous. But yeah, I got over it fairly quickly because again, that's what it was, and we had to go forward.
And, I mean, was your car, was it the best?
Your phone sucks, off? Bob.
What? Let's see.
Can you repeat that?
Does, on the last run, was that the car that, was that the best your car had been over the last, like, 150 laps during the night?
No. For whatever reason, those last two runs under green, it wasn't the best. I think the best run we had was when we fired off there to start stage three and hounded the 11 for a bit there and then passed him and drove off. I think that was about the best we were all night.
There you have Martin Truex with Bob Pockrass. Apparently, due to Pockrass's phone breaking up and have that muffled voice, Martin decided to tell him his phone sucked. So good for Marty, but he can get away with that. Anyway, let's see what we got coming up this weekend, as well as the NHRA in Charlotte. We have Bristol. We have the Xfinity and the truck race. Now, we have the trucks on Thursday night at 9 p.m. for the UNOH 200 presented by Ohio Logistics. And then Friday at night, 7:30, the Food City 300. And then the big one, Saturday night at 7:30, the Bass Pro Shops night race. I remember when it was the Irwin Tools night race. I went for that one and got vice grips. But anyway, Fox Sports 1 for the truck series, and then both the Xfinity and the Cup race will be on NBC Sports Network. Check your local listings for the actual channel number. Anyway, I'm Vinny B. We will see you all next week. Good day and good racing. Bye now.